Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Come on, I just want to say hi to a few of you joining in. I can only see people on Facebook here, but we've got Madeline. Good morning, Madeline. We've got Sue. Good morning. We've got several other people here. My screen is, of course, black right now. There we go. Okay. Yeah, we've got lots of people. I know lots of you are joining in on YouTube as well on your smart TVs. We're just so glad that this is an option this morning. If you don't know why we're online only, it is because we have no running water here at the church because of a pipe froze and burst. But there's nothing that our God cannot do. And so we are so grateful to be here worshiping with you. I hope you can feel God's presence in your home this morning. You know, it's never an easy decision to go online, but I will say it is an opportunity to fill our homes with God's presence together, and that is special. But we so value in-person gatherings. Next Sunday, we are going to be having our all-star volunteer appreciation whole blowout celebration. That means anybody who volunteered in 2021, we are celebrating you. If you are newer and you're just starting to volunteer this year, still come. There's still going to be a party. But we counted over 50 people have volunteered in 2021. That is huge. So we're just so grateful for each and every one of you. You know, this is why we do what we do. We do it to see people get saved. We do it to see people get freedom, to get whole in Jesus. And we have seen so many of those stories in 2021. And this is why we have done what we've done. No matter what level of serving, from cleaning the toilets to the parking lot to this stage, it's all worship. Amen. And some of us have done all of the above. So I want to just do a quick shout out to Pastor Caleb and Natalie, who were on the worship team this morning on a shop vac, vacuuming up water from the flood. So if you know them, shoot them a text message, say thank you so much. They got up at the crack of dawn, came over here, and were vacuuming up water as Brian and I set up. So they are just an amazing pastoral team. We're so grateful to have them. But we are just excited to be able to share a message right now with you. I'm going to grab a music stand. Hey, if you have coffee, if you have hot chocolate, a cup of tea, orange juice, I don't care if you're eating a donut or a bagel right now, get it out. We're going to get into the Word of God this morning. So again, one last time, if you haven't clicked share, share this with somebody maybe who's never been to church. Be a witness for Jesus. It's never simpler right now than just tagging somebody or messaging them. Let's get hope out today. Our world needs hope. Amen. So just give me 5 seconds here. I'm going to set up. Let's see. I need a music stand here. Hold on 1 second.
Praise God for coffee.
All right.
I'll tell you, sometimes it's the little miracles.
Amen. Amen. Now, I can't see my face because we're bare bones set up here this morning, so
I'll come move.
If my face is cut off, Brian's going to fix me here in just a second. But I actually really like it when he plays, so I'm going to check myself here. Just give a quick thumbs up if you can see my face. Oh yeah, you can see my face, can't you? All right. Real quick, I want to just invite you to share a testimony in the comments. What is one way you have seen God move this week in your life? Just drop it in the comments right now. If you're on Facebook, if you're on YouTube, just think about it. What is one way you have seen God move? Brian and I have had just a crazy week. We have faced a lot of challenges this week, specifically in the last few days. And there have been many times when I have been on my knees or crying out to God in a very vulnerable, raw way. And if that's you this morning, if you also have been in that place, I want you to know you're not alone. And we're going to get into the scripture and get some real hope and encouragement that comes from a very real place in my heart, because I have had to live this message out this week, and I have not lived it out perfectly, but God has been teaching me some really important things. So drop a testimony in the chat again if you've got something that God has done in your life this week. We are just so excited to be able to share hope. Amen. Hannah Hansen says, our house didn't burn down. Come on. Jesus. That's a miracle. That is a miracle. We're praising God for his protection over homes. Amen. We're celebrating with you, Hannah and William. That's huge. Yeah, we've got a testimony here. As I said at the beginning of this video, we had a major pipe burst and flood yesterday, and somebody caught it within 1 minute of it happening. And because they caught it within 1 minute, it was minimal damage. And because of that, we can even be here streaming. If it had not been caught, our entire church would have flooded. And that I say with fear and trembling, because that's a big deal. So we are praising God for many physical miracles this morning. All right, we're going to get into the word here. I'm going to give you a chance to give your tithes and your offerings at the end, simply because I don't want you to leave the stream to go do it. But we do welcome you to give your tithes and your offerings online, or put a check in the mail to ROFC. We're still waiting on that New York State government name change. But we really want to invite you to give your tithe, your offering this morning, not wait a week, simply because it's an opportunity to worship God together. And we also have some repair that needs to happen with that flood. So we really appreciate your support this Sunday, and we're just grateful for that. All right, we're going to get into the word here. We're going to be looking at Philippians 3, 12 through 16. Can you all hear me over the guitar? If you can, just drop a thumbs up in the Facebook thread here, because I like to preach when Brian's playing guitar. Let's see. Anybody dropping a thumbs up? Can you all hear me? All right, I'm going to say you can. If you can't hear me, drop something else in the comments, and we'll adjust it, all right? So this morning, we are continuing our Lace Up series, all right? And if you are joining in online for the first time with us, maybe someone shared this and you're tuning in, you're wondering, what is a Lace Up series? Well, we love to do message themes in this church. And God put it on my heart to do a Lace Up message series to launch the new year. And Lace Up is all about lacing up our shoes, right? Here are my shoes, practically unlaced, right? Because they normally are. And lacing them up to run. And you know, if you're running a race and your shoelaces are untied, you're not gonna run to win. You're gonna trip, you're gonna fall, you're gonna get all tangled up. I've done it. I've fallen on my face before because my shoelaces were untied. And God is wanting to encourage us and give us practical strategy and tools to run to win in 2022, whatever that looks like in your life, to take the next step so that your relationship with Jesus looks different than it did last year. How many want that? Amen? That might look big, or that might seem small to you, but it's going to have eternal impact on your life, on our region, on the generations to come. So we're going to open with Philippians 3, verse 12 through 16. You're about to find out why you joined in online this morning, because Holy Spirit's going to move in this. I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing, but I run with passion. Come on, just say passion. Drop the word passion in the comments. Into his abundance, so that I may reach the purpose for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me to make me his own. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget. Everyone say forget. Just drop it in the comments. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future. You could almost say you're tying a shoelace, your shoelaces up for the future, right? Fastening your heart for the future. The victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. So let all who are fully mature have this same passion. And if anyone is not yet gripped by these desires, God will reveal it to them. And let us all advance together to reach this victory prize, following one path with one passion. Come on, the word forget means to neglect, all right? It means to fail to take care of. And this morning, I want to introduce you to a kind of running that maybe we all actually have done a little bit before, but we didn't know what it was called. It is called backwards running, all right? Now, I wish I could do a visual demonstration here. It goes something like this, right? All right? This is backwards running. And I kind of make fun of it, but did you know it's an actual sport? In fact, there's like a world championship for this thing. It's called backwards running, or in more professional circles, retro running. All right, so everyone just say retro running, all right? Now, when I stumbled on this, I was like, what is going on here, right? We've heard of speed walking, I'm not making fun. If you're a speed walker, God bless you, right? And then, of course, normal running, right? But backwards running, what is this? And I watched several YouTube tutorials on how to do backwards running. I don't think I'm going to make it a career. You can pray about it for yourself. But in backwards running, it requires 30%, everyone say 30%, all right? 30% more energy than forward running at the same speed, all right? So if I'm running towards you like this, okay, that's, you know, that's all right. But if I'm running towards you like this, I just exerted 30% more energy, all right? And I want to talk to you about spiritual retro running this morning, all right? So if some of us are honest this morning, we have been doing a lot of retro running. And I want to describe to you what I mean by that. Number one, retro running is you are focused more on the past than the future. If you are retro running, I watched this tutorial, they actually have to have spotters that run beside you so they can tell you where you're going, because otherwise you're constantly looking over your shoulder because you're running backwards on a path. If you're spiritually retro running, you are striving to move forward, all right? You're exerting 30% more energy, right? You're putting pressure on yourself in ways that you weren't meant to. When you retro run, you're actually putting weight on different parts of your foot than you normally would if you're normally running, and you can strain your foot. And then the other and last spiritual retro running attribute is that you keep checking over your shoulder rather than being confident in God. All right, so I want to get into this a little bit deeper. And Brian, if you can just be a little more peaceful on the guitar, that'd be awesome. So when you're retro running in your relationships, let's just bring this home, you might keep repeating negative patterns. You might be exhausted from just striving to connect or striving to succeed. You might feel yourself putting pressure on yourself or putting pressure on the other person, and you might have lost your confidence in God, all right? That's just one way of looking at retro running spiritually. But I want to take it even more home to Psalm 106, and we're going to camp here for just a second. And I feel like if there's one group of people in the Bible that had a real problem with retro running, with running backwards, it is the Israelites, all right? But before we point a finger at them, we got to know we got four fingers pointing right back at us, right? They're just such an example. We can learn so many things from them. So let's look at this. Psalm 106. When our ancestors were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles. They did not remember your many kindnesses, and they rebelled by the Red Sea. Yet he saved them for his name's sake, to make his mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea and it dried up. He led them through the depths as through a desert. He saved them from the hand of the foe, from the hand of the enemy. He redeemed them. The waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them survived. And then they believed his promises and sang his praise. I want to talk about the Red Sea parting this morning. And this is such an incredible story that it is mentioned throughout the Bible. This is a miracle that was a defining moment for the Israelites. And as children of God, if it was a defining moment for them, we can take it on as a defining moment for ourselves. It was such a defining moment that in Acts 7, Stephen, right before he's actually stoned to death, mentions the parting of the Red Sea. And it was so important that Paul in Corinthians compared the Red Sea parting to actually being baptized by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that incredible? So this one story was a real defining moment, and I want to unpack it for you this morning, because my message title was Overwhelmed or an Overcomer. And I know this week for me, it was a battle. I kept running the racetrack of being overwhelmed and then running the racetrack of being an overcomer and then running the racetrack of overwhelmed and then going back to being an overcomer. And it was almost like I was running retro, and then I would turn around and then I would look to my past and I would look to the future. And I want to speak to anybody who has felt like they're in that place right now. So number one, what God has been speaking to me about this scripture was, number one, our circumstances are not God. All right, I want to say that one more time. Our circumstances are not God. Someone say, thank God, right? You know, I want to unpack the story of the Red Sea. Exodus 14, 11 through 14 goes into it a little bit more detail. So this is after the Israelites saw Pharaoh's army coming, all right? Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt so with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone so that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Hold up. So the Israelites were just delivered by the hand of God through Moses from captivity. And now they're facing the same captivity has now chased them where they are. And they're saying, you know what? It would have been better that we never even were delivered. Why were we even saved? Have you ever been saved by Jesus and had something from your past sneak up on you? And if we're real honest, have you ever retro run? Have you ever looked back to your past and said, why did I even, like, the battle? I'm not going to win this. Have you ever been there, if you're really honest? Maybe it's in your finances, maybe it's in your marriage or your relationships, whatever season of life you're in. Maybe it's in your workplace, maybe it's in your health. It's like, maybe I should just give up. But Jesus wants to speak courage to your veins this morning, and I want to get into this here because God has been speaking to me so strongly this week. The Israelites were worshiping their circumstances so much that they were missing the very deliverance that Jesus had for them right in front of their face. I want to say that again. If you worship your circumstances more than God, you can miss the deliverance that Jesus died to give you. All right? I want to spread this out here. You know, this week I had to deal with challenges, as I've said, and I felt Holy Spirit poking me and saying, hey, are you finding your identity in your circumstances? Are you finding your hope in your circumstances? Are you praying and breaking the atmospheres with my name in your circumstance? Or are you just worshiping and coming under the circumstance? Are you focusing more on the circumstance or on me? And I want to share something with you here. If you've ever seen me worship, you might be like, why does Hannah raise her hands? Why does she jump like that? Is she Tigger, right? What's going on here? But I want to tell you a secret. If you see somebody worshiping with all their heart and expressing it physically, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're just like a really expressive person. Sometimes it does. But it just might mean, because this is what it means for me, I refuse to have my worship of what the enemy did in my life or what my circumstances did this past week be louder than my worship for God. And if you see me being really loud for Jesus on a Sunday morning, that might just be a hint that maybe I got a little too loud worshiping some other things this week, if you're following me, right? And I want to encourage you to set a standard in your life. Complaining is worshiping what somebody else is doing, right? It's not worshiping what God is doing. Complaining is like worship songs to the wrong thing. If you found yourself complaining or repeating negativity, it's like a worship song, but not to God, if you're following. And, you know, I think the church makes idolatry. It makes lying and stealing. You know, just go through the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are like, oh my goodness, you break the Ten Commandments, you are in trouble, right? I mean, the mercy of Jesus, the grace of Jesus is enough, but you don't want to break the Ten Commandments, right? In Sunday school, if you grew up in Sunday school, or if you've got a kid, it's like, don't break the Ten Commandments. But there's a commandment that I think we as a church and we as children of God maybe overlook because it's a little sneaky. And unless we really think about it, we might not realize that we're breaking it and we're actually sinning. We're not following in what God designed us to follow in. And it is the sin or the commandment of idolatry. Do not commit idolatry. Idolatry means to worship a graven idol or to worship an image. It means to worship something other than God. And you might say, well, I don't have a statue of Buddha in my house or something. Well, join the club, right? Thank God. If you do, let's talk, right? But there's another way to look at idolatry, and it is that you're worshiping something other than God. And right now, there is such a temptation to focus our attention on other things when God is moving and he is inviting us to focus on what he is doing. I'm not talking about, you know, ignoring reality. I'm not talking about living in denial. Jesus never lived in denial, all right? But if there was one person, if there was one being that could have focused all his attention on all the circumstances going on in the world, it was Jesus. Yet he didn't live in denial, but he turned his attention to do what the Father did, to look to the Father and to live out heaven on earth. And that's what we are called to do. So I want to break this down. You know, are you more focused? Are you finding yourself more focused on bondage or the deliverer? Are you finding yourself more focused on uncertainty and chaos or the one who never changes? Are you finding yourself more focused on sickness than the healer? I didn't say the healing. I said the healer, the character of God, right? Are you more focused on the storm or the Prince of Peace? Sounds like the disciples there, right? Are you more focused on the lack or the provider? It doesn't mean you can't acknowledge that there is lack. But when we acknowledge the weakness, we invite God to be strong in it. We don't build a stronghold of complaining and negative thinking around it, right? What does this look like? Well, let's look at a couple examples in the scripture. What if Ruth had focused more on the death of her husband and having to work in the fields than what God had in store for her? Let's be real here. What if Ruth had focused more on the death of her husband and having to work the fields? She would have literally missed out on being a relative of the Messiah. She would have missed out on marrying Boaz and owning those same fields she was working. How about Moses? If Moses had focused more on his circumstances and past, if he had retro run, right? If he had been more focused on the fact that he had murdered somebody, an entire nation wouldn't have been delivered. Think about this. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? If they had focused more on the possibility of God not pulling through and being intimidated, a king of Babylon would not have been saved. You know, you might not feel like a nation is at stake, but maybe your future generations are. Maybe our region is. There is so much breakthrough and so much supernatural miracles and so much of the presence of God that God wants to release in our midst. But it takes a courageous yes. It takes an invitation to not be focused on the circumstances, but to give the circumstances to God and invite God to be made real on earth as it is in heaven. When we shift our focus from our circumstances to God, we see how God is delivering us, how he is fighting for us. But it's not just about us. The gospel is never just about you and me, even though it is 100% about you and me. But it is always about the person next to us and the people to come after us, right? So let's continue here. Exodus 14, 13 through 14. And Moses said to the people, this is after they complained, right? Do not be afraid, stand still. Just drop in the comments, stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. I want to tell you something this morning. The Lord will fight for you, and you can hold your peace. The Lord will fight for you. I love this next part because as I was studying it this week, it just stood out to me. After that scripture, God sends an angel to stand between Pharaoh's army, and it says all of his chariots, and he had all these generals, and I mean, the guy brought it all. If you've ever seen like a sci-fi film or Narnia or Lord of the Rings, imagine that, right? If you're thinking, why are the Israelites intimidated? Would you like to stand up to a Lord of the Rings battle? Probably not, right? Just think about that. And so imagine God sending an angel to stand between that army and the Israelites and the cloud and the pillar between them. And it said so that there was light on one side and darkness on the other, so the enemy could not get through. Isn't that incredible? And then it goes on to say, God just didn't part the Red Sea, which we just sang about earlier in worship. God didn't just part the Red Sea. It said God pulled the wheels off the chariots. Come on, somebody. I don't hear anybody talking about this. I just hear this Red Sea parting, which is obviously incredible. But let's read this. Exodus 14, 21 through 25. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back, a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry land. That's incredible, right? And the waters were a wall to them on their right and on their left, and the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. That word troubled means confused. When the Lord fights your battle, he confuses the enemy. And he took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. How about this? If I were to translate that verse into our sermon series, it'd be like, God untied all the laces of the runners, so you were the only one that could win, right? That's what he's saying here. He took off all the wheels of the chariots so that they drove with difficulty, and the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. The enemy recognized that God was fighting for them and said, we give up. I want you to know that even when you're in the breakthrough, even when the Israelites were in the middle of that Red Sea, God was creating confusion in the enemy camp, and God was removing chariot wheels from the enemy's chariots, right? And I want to clarify something here, because I think this is really important. Some of you, because I know some of me this week, some of us are putting more faith in the enemy's ability to get to you than God's ability to save you. I want to say that again. Some of us are putting more faith in the enemy's ability to get to you than God's ability to save you. This is a belief that will just, it'll handicap us as a church and as a community. It'll handicap your life. And God wants to break this lie off, that the enemy's ability to get to you is stronger than God's ability to save you. God didn't just part the Red Sea. No, let me rewind that. God didn't just deliver the Israelites out of Egypt. He delivered them from the haunting of their past. Somebody this morning needs to know that God didn't just save you for eternity, for heaven, right? That would have been enough. But right now, God is wanting to remind you, he is saving you from the past that is trying to creep up on you, from whatever it is in your life that is trying to creep up on you. And some of you this morning might feel like you're on the edge of the Red Sea, and there are challenges and there are situations that are chasing you down, and all you can see is water. And I want to speak courage to your veins this morning, and I want to say the Lord fights for you. The Lord fights for you. You can have your peace. The Lord fights for you. I love this quote from Charles Spurgeon as we begin to wrap up here. In the Red Sea of his own blood, our Redeemer has drowned the Pharaoh of our sins. In the Red Sea of his own blood, our Redeemer has drowned the Pharaoh of our sins. If this message is speaking to you this morning, I want to invite you to just take a moment. Is there some challenge, is there some situation that you have been focusing on more than God? Have you been retro running? Have you been looking over your shoulder at what God is doing, but focusing on what your past is, or a sin or a pattern in your life that is destructive? Or are you focusing on Jesus? It says, for the joy set before him, he pressed on. I want to encourage you this morning to ask yourself, is there a sin? Is there a challenge that God wants to drown in his Red Sea this morning in your life? I'm not talking about a person here. Don't hear me saying that, all right? Don't walk away from this message and say, No. All right, I'm not talking about a person here. I'm talking about a situation. I'm talking about a sin. Is there something in your life that Jesus wants to drown in his Red Sea as our Redeemer? In the Red Sea of his own blood, our Redeemer has drowned the Pharaoh of our sins. This morning, God wants to invite you to take your eyes off of off of your circumstances, not out of denial, to give them to God. Just like I preached last week about Elijah. God said, what's going on? And Elijah said, this and this, and I'm all alone. And then God said, okay, are you ready to hear my reality that can become your reality? Are you ready to see the Red Sea part and walk through it? Are you ready to see the chariot wheels be ripped off? Are you ready to see your sin and the challenges you face be drowned in the mercy and the power of God? It's not by what we see that we walk. It is by faith that we walk. So I'm not talking about you being dependent on seeing something change, even though I'm believing with you and standing with you in faith that situations right now are changing in Jesus' name. But I'm talking about a faith and a living relationship with God that goes beyond your circumstances and what you face. And it is a relationship with the living God, our Redeemer, who has eternity in mind with us. Amen? So I'm going to just wrap up here. But I just want to wrap up by saying that, you know, even though the Red Sea parted, the Israelites didn't just like walk through the Red Sea into the Promised Land, right? That's not exactly how that happened. And sometimes when we give God our situations and we let him drown the sin in our life with his blood and we get free and we walk that freedom out, it's like we think that the journey is the enemy. But the journey wasn't the enemy. The Israelites still needed to walk out the journey into the Promised Land. And I love this scripture in Matthew 16 when Jesus was describing how salvation was going to come by him dying on the cross and him rising up on the third day. And Peter said, never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. And Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. And I got to be honest with you, and I got to be real vulnerable. You know, this week we were facing some challenges that we're still walking through. And as a couple, we were talking and processing and praying and doing all of that. And there was a moment when I was kind of in more of a complaining mood, all right? I'm not going to lie. I was an Israelite retro running. I was looking at Pharaoh's camp and looking at the Red Sea in front of me. I'm just being honest with you. And I was kind of going on. And Brian turned to me, and in the most respectful way, and I do not give permission for any other married couple to do this. This is not me condoning this. He said, shut up. Hold on. Just stop. And I felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit say, hey, stop retro running, right? Stop looking at the enemy's camp. And as Jesus said, stop having human concerns only and start having the concerns of God. And I want to end with this. When you turn to God, when you stop worshiping the circumstances, a shift happens. And instead of just being concerned with human concerns, you get to actually be concerned with what God is concerned about. And God wants to release that on you and me this morning. So I hope that makes sense. I want to conclude by saying, in order to take the next step in God, we have to remember our circumstances aren't God. Through salvation, God's ability to save us is so much stronger than the ability of the enemy to get to us. And God is committed to our freedom even more than we are. And God wants to exchange earthly concerns for heavenly concerns. And heavenly concerns always acknowledge the earth, but then they see beyond what's just possible with our eyes. So I'm going to pray for you this morning as we close. Jesus, I just thank you right now for releasing courage into every person that is joining. God, I thank you for just releasing your strength and the ability to look up off of the circumstances, to stop looking backwards, to stop focusing on a sin, to stop focusing on whatever it is that is taking our eyes off of you, God. And I thank you for drawing us to you. For drawing us to you, just like the song, turn your eyes on Jesus and the earth will grow slowly, strangely dim. That's what God is releasing right now. So I just bless you with that. And you know, walking out this looks practical. It's not just some spiritual message I'm trying to preach today. I'm trying to get practical here, you know? If you need to take your eyes off of your circumstances and onto God, think about what that looks like for you this week. What does that look like in your finances? It might start to look like you tithing. It might start to look like you learning how to steward what God has given you. It might look like in your marriage, it might look like not repeating negative patterns. How do you stop? Getting courage, getting help. You know, as a church, we're here to give you the resources you need to thrive in Jesus, to walk out the breakthrough in your life that you need. And so I encourage you, if there's an area in your life that you're like, you know what, I gotta look up. And if you're like, I don't know how to do that, text our number, all right? Reach out to one of our pastors, Pastor Caleb or Natalie, myself, Pastor Brian, our team. We're here to help you get breakthrough this week, to turn your eyes to Jesus, to look full in his face as the earth grows strangely dim, to not worship our circumstances, but to honor God. Amen? All right, so I want to invite you right now to do that with your finances by giving. We are so grateful. You know, in this church, we see giving as an act of worship. And in the Bible, it talks about tithing. It talks about giving 10% of what is coming in, not because you're trying to pay God or whatever it is, but because when we get born again, we get to give God all of our finances, and we just get to give back to what he's doing, to reaching out with the gospel. And this church is committed to using whatever comes in to spread the gospel practically, be the hands and feet of Jesus, both here and in Malawi. So we encourage you to prayerfully consider what God would have you give, whatever that looks like for you. And so you can give online. The link is right above if you're on Facebook. If you're on YouTube, I think the link is right there as well. And you can always mail a check into ROFC. So be blessed this week. We will see you in person. We're coming back with a back to church blowout next Sunday. Get ready to party, all right? And we are so blessed to at least have been able to spend these few minutes with you in God's presence together this morning. All right. Bless you. We're just going to end with, I'm coming out of the fire. Let's just end with that. And if you need to go, that's fine. But we're just going to end with a moment of worship here.
I'm coming out of the fire, finer than gold. I'm running out of the dust with rivers in my soul. I'm taking back what was stolen. Lost,
coming out of it all by the power of God.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.